Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire, to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Nancy Goodnight. She's a prolific volunteer, serving as director for many events, including Scott and White's Miracle Match Marathon, and she's a triathlete herself. Hosting the conversation is Sandra Sanchez.
This is Sandra Sanchez, Assistant Opinions Editor for the Waco Tribune Herald, talking today with all-around community volunteer Nancy Goodnight. Nancy is what I would call an uber volunteer. She epitomizes leadership, in my eyes, through all she has done and continues to do for our community in McLennan County. Welcome, Nancy.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
When I say uber volunteer, I really mean it. Okay, allow me a moment to briefly run down your resume. This isn't everything that you've done, but this is a smattering of it. You've co-chaired the Cattle Baron's Ball. You've been on the Crime Stoppers Board. You still are on it. You were president for 2 years. You have done the Providence Gala. You're on the Development Committee. You've been on the Waco Symphony Board. You were president of the Midway Education Foundation Board, and now you're vice president of development. You have been involved with Sawbones and Jawbones, which raises money for the Advocacy Center. That's a softball game, I believe. You've been on the Medical Alliance since 1996. Currently, you're race director for the Miracle Match Marathon, and you are special events and program coordinator for Scott and White Donor Marrow Program. And you have a new venture involving a bike ride called the Texas 250, which we'll discuss later. That's a tremendous amount of community service. Some people would say they couldn't take on half of what I just listed. What motivates you?
You know, I was raised in a family where we did, my parents were always involved in the community, schools, church, civic, all of it. And so I guess that's just, to me, that's kind of the norm. I like to be busy. I'm just kind of, I thrive on that. I do better if I'm busy. I get more accomplished if I have a lot to do. I find when I have a lull in my activity level that suddenly nothing's getting done. I guess that's just the way I'm wired. But a lot of it is just kind of putting together a puzzle. I feel like I seem to enjoy the challenge of being given a task and having different things that I need to do and then putting it all together and making something work. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of advantages to it. You meet the neatest people. I had lunch with a lady today that there's no way I would have met her had I not been involved in so many different activities. And I can list a long list of people that I've met just through my things that our paths wouldn't have crossed otherwise. So there's a lot of blessings.
So it's like a puzzle. But there's so many more pieces to your life as well. You are the mother of four daughters.
Yes.
And you have a very busy surgeon husband as
yes.
well. Would you like to tell us about your family?
Yeah, I have four teenage daughters, so we're busy. They're all at the Midway School District. And, you know, they have their own activities. And he has a call schedule, county call, and call at the other hospitals as well. And so he's not around a lot to help transport or to go to their events and things like that. So they keep me busy, yeah.
So four daughters, teenage daughters, so they're very at a very impressionable age.
Yes.
Does knowing that they're watching your every move motivate you to model community service for them?
Definitely. And we have a ongoing joke that, especially in the race directing world, we say that race directors should not practice birth control because they need all the volunteer staff from their kids. And my girls would get a kick telling you that because they do. They volunteered everything that I do. They really do. I guess they're doing what I did growing up, where somebody is constantly modeling for them that you get out there and you give into your community and you get back exactly what you give. So you keep giving. And they do. They come to every event. They do not like hauling hay, and they will tell you that. No more hay hauling, Mom. But they do everything else. They can start – Catherine can do an entire database for Race for the Cure. She's done the entire thing and can enter all the data entry for every individual. They're very familiar with how to fundraise. They know what it takes, and they know I think they know that sometimes you got to stick your neck out there and take a risk. And I hope I've modeled that for them. So,
Race for the Cure, that's another event that I forgot to name.
Yeah, I was on the original planning committee for that 11 years ago, and then I chaired it in 06 in a tornado. That was fun. But then I've had a capacity in that event almost every year. I've had to miss a few, but almost every year of its existence. So.
I've been to some events and seen your daughters putting programs on car windows.
Oh, you know.
I mean, literally, when you say they do everything, they'll even race events as well.
They do, yeah. And I've been really very proud of them on that one. My older two have taken up triathloning. And then the oldest one has done a half marathon. She did my half marathon, the Miracle Match. I was so proud of her. She did a great job. My husband did, too. And neither one of them had ever run that far and just decided to give it a try. So I got to greet them at the finish line. It was really neat.
Well, why have you been on? I know you mentioned your family growing up, the kind of race your mother prompted you to see all that she did. But why so many different boards? They're so varied. There's so many different facets of the community, from the symphony to medical to exercise related. How do you keep track of everything?
Sometimes I do it better than others, but I guess I just have a lot of my own interests. I try to. Almost everything I do has some sort of personal interest. I mean, as an athlete, obviously I'm going to be interested in the athletic events because I want to see more of that here in Waco. And all the ones that I do that I work on are always benefiting nonprofits. I believe in that very strongly. And I was asked to work on a project that was a profit event about a year ago. And I said, I will help you, but you're going to need a nonprofit element or I'm just not going to do that. And that doesn't mean that I don't need an income, just like the average American. But I just believe that, again, that you've got to give back in some capacity. So sometimes it's about my own passion, whether it's an interest in music, symphony, or an interest in athletic events or midway schools. My own children obviously are benefiting from what that foundation does. But sometimes it's also the people that I know who get me involved. I probably wouldn't have been involved in Crime Stoppers had I not had a good friendship with Steve Dietrich. And by knowing what he was doing over there and when he asked me to serve on the board, you know, I hadn't had any crimes committed against myself or anything like that, except once in college getting robbed, you know, but nothing here. But I knew him and I knew what he was accomplishing. And by getting to know him, I saw that as a very valuable use of my time. So there's a lot of reasons, I guess.
Did you immediately start volunteering when you came to Central Texas? And take us back a bit. When did you move here and what brought you here?
We moved here in 96. My husband had a job. He was fresh out of medical school and residency. I had had two events that I had participated in during his residency program that were fundraising and kind of related to what I'm doing here now. The first one was the Student Medical Alliance, the physician spouses, had a 5K, and I participated in that. And that's a funny story. I still remember it. I had no experience at all in any of that, and we accidentally threw away all the money, and we had to dig through the dumpster and get it.
So did you get it
that's,
back?
Oh, yeah. That's Nancy's grassroots story. And then the second thing, we lost a very close friend, one of John Mark's fellow residents, and we had two-year-olds together, and his wife and I were very close, and she had a she was pregnant with her second baby, and he drowned. And he was supposed to have graduated that year. And so they were in the same boat that we were, where we were expected to have this – we had all this debt from student loans and expected to recover from that debt within the first 5 to 10 years of private practice. And here she was with these two babies and no spouse and a whole lot of debt. And that was my first really serious fundraising activity I ever did. I took it upon myself to write a letter to every alumni from the UT Health Science Center in San Antonio and asking them to contribute to a fund for her children. And we raised about $40,000 that way. And that's the beginning.
Do you still keep in touch with her?
I do. She wrote a book and she does a lot, Lisa Gardemal Hennessy. And her oldest child will be graduating with mine this year, and he's probably going to Baylor, so that's kind of exciting. I don't keep up with her as much as I'd like to. She's remarried, and she's really done a great thing with her life, and her kids are wonderful. But that was the first time that I saw a need that I kind of stepped in.
That put you on the path, huh?
I guess so. And then when we moved here, I immediately became president of the Medical Alliance because, quite honestly, nobody else wanted that job. So, and then it was PTA, and you just kind of, you know, and I'm still involved with PTA on some levels, but You just kind of keep finding yourself, you know, doing a little bit more.
We'll talk more about that in a second. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald, talking today with Uber volunteer Nancy Goodnight. So you were telling us about your first leadership role. That was a touching story about raising $40,000 and put you on a path. So what advice would you give others who might want to volunteer and take on leadership positions that but might be tepid about the idea?
Well, definitely pick something that you're passionate about. You know, is it your children's school? Is it your church? Is it breast cancer? Maybe your mother, your sister, or yourself, or your husband had breast cancer, and that's something. Choose something that really – not that you can't volunteer for anything unrelated, but usually it's easier to take that first step if it's something that is somehow directly related to you or your loved ones.
Certainly not every board you've been on has been a walk in the park. I'm sure you have some instances. I'm sure you have some stories. Can you tell us some? How'd you work through them?
I was president of the South Bosque PTA, and that was probably one of the hardest jobs I have ever had. My husband will tell you, he would laugh at me and say, you can run 26.2 miles, but you can't run the South Bosque PTA. In a lot of schools, things like that, you have in the PTA a lot of moms, and there's dads too, but a lot of moms who are very type A, high-powered women in their careers, and they stop their career to raise the family and take on that career. And I'm probably considered guilty of that as well, although I never had a real higher-powered career. But they have a lot of intelligence, and they have a lot of energy, and they have a lot of intensity, and they have to funnel it somewhere. And I guess really I'm describing myself. I think that's what I did, is I needed to funnel it somewhere, and I chose a lot of places, and it's – you know, but a lot of them will choose their elementary school PTA, and they can be very intense. And I had a situation there where I really had one chairman who had struggled with budget and struggled with reining in some ideas. And that's to this day, I think that's been my toughest circumstance.
Well, as a leader, though, you had to work through it, right?
Absolutely, yes.
What was the hardest decision you've had to do as a leader?
Ask that person to step down because they're a volunteer. You can't fire a volunteer and you don't want to. I mean, they're there on their own for their own reasons, and they're on their own time. They're not getting paid. They really aren't. You know, there are other benefits you get. You will find when you do some of the more high profile cattle barons, for example, that some people like to volunteer for reasons that are not always altruistic, that there's a lot of personal gain, whether they're trying to promote their own business or they want to be on the cover of Waco Today or, you know, I mean, you run into a lot of that. But you can't fire a volunteer. But unfortunately, sometimes that volunteer either isn't doing their job because they might not have time, they might not have the skills, and they're too proud to say, I can't do it, I need help. And then at the critical hour, the job hasn't been done, and someone has to come in and do it for them. So every once in a while, there is a circumstance where you have to ask a volunteer to step down from the position, and that is very difficult because it's not like you're paying them like you're their boss. It's really touchy. You have to be very humble.
How has that affected your thinking since as a leader?
In some respects, I'm a lot more cautious. I look into who I ask to do a task. I really consider it more than I probably did in the past. In the past, I was just happy to have any worthy volunteer. But also, you know, I have to, like I said, it's a lot of humility. You can't just come in and say, you're not doing it my way. And so I've had to learn to really step out and say, am I not satisfied with what that person is doing because they're not doing it the way I would do it or because they're just not doing it? I mean, you really have to step back and make sure that you're not putting your own personal philosophy
agenda.
And theory agenda. Yeah. I mean, you have to step out of that. And and sometimes I've done it very well, and sometimes I'm sure I haven't, you know. I've made lots of mistakes along the way.
Well, I can say I was actually on that South Bosque PTA board under you and had no idea this was going on. So I think you probably did it quite well.
It was pretty stressful.
I did not know that was occurring.
It's a long time ago, yes.
And let me backtrack. When you said that you didn't have a high-profile career, now, as I understand it, you were a science teacher.
I was, yeah.
In San Antonio. Mm-hmm. You have a degree from TCU,
correct? I have a degree in biology, okay. And then I got my teaching certification. So in sciences and in German, and I taught the sciences in a very interesting district in San Antonio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
Yes, you far more than just a volunteer, as you had said that. Switching gears a bit, this kind of sounds a little stressful. And I hear that you're a marathon runner.
Yes.
You're a triathlete, exercise enthusiast. Does that help you cope with all these other activities that you're involved with?
Oh, yeah. I think I started running more or less for the stress. I mean, I really did. And then now I use it when I need to really think things through. Whether I'm running or swimming or cycling, that's my mental time to get myself kind of the plan laid out and come up with some ideas. I mean, if you're out on the road on a long run, 17 miles by yourself, you will come up with some ideas. So
you're competing in your first Ironman triathlon?
Yes, because I've lost my mind.
Okay. Tell listeners, what's the distance for that race and the time limit, and how do you possibly work in the training hours?
Oh, that's a good question. It's a 2.4-mile swim, open water, 112-mile bike, and then followed by a full marathon, 26.2 miles. I hope that I will accomplish the swim in an hour and a half or less, and I hope I'll do the bike in about 6 to 7 hours, and hopefully the marathon in about 5 to 6. So there's a 17-hour time limit, and I'm kind of aiming for 15, but really the goal is just to finish it. It's a beast. But in terms of fitting it in, that's the hardest part. You have to write it out on your calendar and your agenda the same way you would a doctor's appointment. And if it says you're going to swim an hour and a half on Monday, I don't care how bored you are, because that's what I did this morning, you're going to sit there and you're going to swim until that clock rolls over at 10 o'clock. That's it. It's just a lot of discipline. And then, you know, if you drop your kids off at piano and you've got the piano teacher lives in a hilly neighborhood, you got 30 minutes of hills you can run. And that's literally the way I do it. It's a break up all day long. So,
how many marathons have you competed in how many countries?
64 marathons. I'm trying to do one in every state. I've got 37 states down and 2 foreign countries.
And when did you start competing the triathlons?
That's been pretty recent. I've done a couple. I had a couple injuries, so I was swimming a lot. And I kept thinking, if I'm going to be in the pool like Seabiscuit, then I need to get a medal for that. So then I picked up a bike, and I guess only the last year or two.
You also compete triathlons with your daughters as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that goes back to our earlier conversation about modeling for your family. They pick up on what mom does and learning a healthier lifestyle from it.
Yeah, I think so. My 16-year-old has recently been getting up in the mornings to go to the YMCA with me at 5. And even the mornings where I say, Mom's taking today off this morning, she'll go on her own. And she's really loving it. That's the part she's not just doing it. She thinks she has to. She's really developed a passion for it. So, yeah.
Now, last fall, you launched something called the MudQuest Adventure Race near West with some partners.
Yes.
It was a huge success, the first of its kind here in Central Texas.
To me, the whole mud runs, it's such a I don't even know how to describe it. You really get out of your box. And for a lot of people, at first, they're very intimidated. They're not sure because it really, you know, to go traipsing through the mud and to complete an obstacle, that's not like running a 5K. But once they do, it's liberating. Once they do it, they absolutely love it.
You've also worked with the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce and some other individuals to bring back the Xterra mm-hmm. South Central Championship Triathlon.
Yes.
As well as some trail runs here in Cameron Park. So tell us about this. Why is this so important economically for Waco?
Well, you know, there's a lot of levels in which it's important. Definitely economically, because you're talking about, I don't think most of the people within Waco and the McLennan County understand how incredible the trail system is here. I mean, I think they think, oh, yeah, we have a nice park. It's world-renowned. I mean, they're bringing the championships. They're bringing the top trail athletes in the world. I mean, they really do. They bring in, I could name the names, I suppose most people wouldn't know them, but they come here because it is so challenging and it's so tough. But when they come here, they also rent out hotel rooms. They have meals. It gives a major positive image of Waco. People really, even I did before I moved here, thought Waco was that I-35 corridor, and you're like, well, that's Waco. It's not Waco at all. I mean, we have beautiful parts of this town, and that park is one of it. I love seeing anything great come out there. So,
if you're just joining us right now, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald, talking today with Uber volunteer Nancy Goodnight. Right now, I'm looking at a brochure from the Miracle Match Marathon, which you were part of, and it says it's the toughest little marathon in Texas.
It is.
It was held, the last one was held January 21st, and you're the race director. It raises money for bone marrow research. This advertisement is a little, it's funny, but it's a little scary. It sounds kind of painful. But you've nevertheless had tremendous success with this marathon. Tell us about it, your involvement, how it's grown.
Yeah, if I were to choose my number one passion, this would definitely be it. It's a long, funny story. It was started 8 years ago and by the Waco Firefighters Association, and they chose Be the Match, the marrow donor program, to be their recipient of whatever funds they raised. And they also all went on the registry at that time. They did a registry, and since then, two firefighters have matched and donated here in Waco. So we're really proud of them. But they continue to work on it. But that first year, there weren't any runners involved. They designed a course, and we heard there was a marathon like the week before, and we said, well, let's just go run it, you know, if there's one in our backyard. Well, it wasn't very well marked, and we all got lost in the park. I like to call it my first ultra marathon. There wasn't water and Gatorade, so I said, if there's going to be a race in my backyard, I need to volunteer and I need to work on it. And so I started being a volunteer, and the race has grown and improved a little bit. And then about 3 years ago, Debbie Mabry, who runs the marrow donor program at Scott & White, asked that I become race director and take it on. And since then, we have really made some huge strides. We have people from 28 states and two foreign countries last year. It is gaining respect for not just being the toughest marathon, because it is tough. I mean, there's probably only a couple in the country that can surpass us on the kind of elevation that we have. But also, it's the way we put it is, we'll never be a large race. We just want to be your favorite small one. And the reception, the hospitality that we provide at this race is gaining in reputation. People just keep talking about us because we really make it a very personal experience. We have a big party out on that bridge. It is a beautiful course. This year, Waco really came out and supported like you cannot imagine. I mean, they were all over the place. So you watch this one. It's going to be growing even better.
Well, and you also had like 1,000 children participate. That's a new element to the
I love that one. Yes.
To the race as well. And yeah. And you don't really raise money from that part, but you are raising awareness and helping to promote childhood exercise mm-hmm. and eradicate childhood obesity or
exactly. The kids marathon, it has so many different aspects that are all great. Obviously, it's with the Be the Match program. We want people to be aware that that is the point of this race. But we don't raise any money. We barely cover costs on that. What we're trying to accomplish with the kids race, they run 1 mile at a time until they reach the 26-mile mark, and then they run the final mile, and they get a marathon medal and a marathon shirt. Now, what does that do? Obviously, it makes kids more active, which is healthier for them. You want them to have a healthier lifestyle. I mean, I don't need to tell you about childhood obesity in America. It's a horrible problem, huge. But it also teaches them goal setting. Here is a huge task, running 26 miles. I mean, that is far. That's almost a temple. But how can I accomplish it? Well, I can break it down, use self-discipline, take it one step at a time, break your big task into small ones, and succeed. And I think that's a life skill for anything that you approach. So I hope that's what the kids are getting out of it.
I was going to ask you, is fitness and healthy lifestyle something you advocate? But I think you just answered that.
Yeah.
And in your tone, you really took on a leadership right then and there. We could hear your leadership coming out when it's something that you're passionate about.
It is. And there's some irony to this that I share with people, and they don't always believe me. But I grew up a very chubby, overweight, sedentary child. Very. And I always laugh about it when I speak to the PE teachers. I said, I was the kid who was forging the notes to get out of PE. I mean, and I was terrified by PE and PE teachers, and that's the truth. So for me to be in the position now to hopefully encourage kids who felt a lot like I did and felt like, well, I can't get out there, I'm the last to be chosen for the team again, because that was me, I think that I'm passionate about that just from my own history.
To those who are listening, might I tell you that Nancy is maybe a size zero and certainly has a negative percentage body fat. So she
not
is
true.
Not at all chubby at all, and that's quite impressive. You've obviously worked hard to maintain your
fitness. I do, but I enjoy it, you know. I mean, I don't do it just for – there's a lot more to it. When you start competing and I say competing, participating is probably a better word. When you start participating in races that sometimes are just fun and sometimes have great fundraising that goes along with them or causes that are with them, it's really – I've left the – this is all about, you know, fitness and keeping my weight down, and really it's really something I enjoy just as much as it is good for me. So
now you're embarking on a new project, the Texas 250 bike ride, and I'm not really familiar with this one. Tell us about this and who does this benefit?
Okay, this is an interesting one. I was approached a few months ago. The Texas, it's the Texas Tough 250 bike ride, and it's from Austin to Dallas, and it's 2 days. It benefits Texas Children's Hospital. What they asked me to do was to, they spend one night in Waco, and this is where Waco benefits. They spend one night here. It's 250 cyclists, 20 pros, and the rest are regular CEOs, just regular people, a lot of very influential people in the Dallas and Austin area, and then some Waco cyclists as well. But what they do is they ride from Austin to Waco, spend a night in Waco, which I coordinated all the events that they'll experience here, and then they'll ride to Dallas. And I'm going to be one of those riders, so it'll take me 2 days. But the neat thing about it is this is the first year they've done it, but they're going to add to it. There's a criterium, a crit, a bike ride race, in Dallas called the Grand Prix, which is huge. It's been there 4 years, and they want to move it to Waco next year. And it's enormous in the cycling industry. But so Waco is going to benefit several ways from this. First of all, obviously the hotels. They booked all of the Hilton and all of the Marriott for that weekend. So that's an economic impact. Obviously they've got caterers coming in. They're using all Waco. Everything is coming out of Waco. So a lot is being added to our economy. When this crit comes in 2012, it will sell out the convention center with all of the vendors from the different bike companies and, you know, Specialized, Trek, all those vendors. And it will also bring a lot of spectators because this is a big deal. They're going to offer a very large purse and have some of the best pros in the cycling industry. Yeah, it's very exciting. And the whole city and the chamber are on board, so.
You've had a lot of different leadership roles. Do you ever think you'd take on a different type, say, political or maybe a school board role?
You know, I kind of stay away from that for now. And I don't know if I ever will have any interest in that. I really don't. I kind of like what I'm doing now. I feel like I'm benefiting the community and I'm enjoying it. Maybe I'm afraid to stick my neck out there and run for something and not win. I don't know.
Okay, I don't think afraid is a word that fits in with you. But I do think you affect a lot of change in the community through all
your activities.
Do you support, just referring back to KWBU, I mean, how do you keep up on the news? Do you listen to KWBU? Do you encourage others to perhaps also support it or the public to get involved or volunteer?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, KWBU, the newspaper, the Trib, the City Channel, I think all those things. I really try to encourage everybody that I know, whether it's my family, my friends, to really be aware of what's going on immediately in their community. And these are the resources that we use to not stick your head in the sand. And that's one of the things that all my volunteering has done for me is it gets me out of my immediate, I'm a mom over at Midway. I mean, I could stay in that bubble all day if I wanted to. It's very safe. It's usually happy unless you're dealing with certain issues. But it's a bubble. It really is. And I try to encourage everybody around me, whether it's my family, other friends, whatever it is, to get out of that bubble and know what's going on in your environment. And KWBU is obviously a part of that.
Where do you see yourself in 10 or 20 years?
Well, I guess all my kids will be out of the house, and I'll be doing lots of wedding planning probably. But other than that, I hope I continue doing what I'm doing. I hope I'll continue to be active in the community and help it grow. I'd like to see where some of these events, I think, are still going to be around and hopefully have grown. I hope the marathon will still be around very strongly. I think that Texas 250 is here to stay. Obviously, I'll still want to be involved in the schools and Crime Stoppers, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of new adventures out there for me.
Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck in your ventures, because I'm sure you're not slowing down. This is Sandra Sanchez with Waco Tribune Herald, thanking you all for listening to this interview with our super volunteer, Nancy Goodnight.
That interview was recorded March 28, 2011. This and past episodes of the Central Texas Leadership Series can be found on our website at kwbu.org.